Follow the money.
That's what I always say. You always follow the money.
Yeah.
This is Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard on VSiN.
Here we go. Welcome to the madness. It is Follow the Money, Sharp Week on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Mitch Moss, Pauly Howard with you. Live in Vegas, Circa Resort and Casino was a spot. 3 hours of joy coming up today with the madness now upon us. Fran Fraschilla on the program coming up in 1 hour. My favorite college basketball analyst, Dallin Cuff, also on the program coming up in 90 minutes. Future fish market with our best bets, plays that we put in pocket last night after the brackets were revealed, Pauly. Some future bets to take a pop at today as well. And heavy, heavy, heavy college basketball, as you could imagine. First of all, I will start by saying this. I thought it was refreshing last night watching the show, and after it was over, with once they brought on the NCAA tournament chair, Keith Gill. What do we typically do today and also the day after those dumb shows that they have for college football throughout the entire year?
Mm-hmm.
Like, these people are lost. They never give you any answers. There is no sense of structure to how they're trying to put this thing together. I thought that was maybe the best example of a guy who gets it after the brackets were released that we've ever had on TV. Tip of my cap to Keith Gill.
Yep.
He answered everything. He had something for the broadcast and for the audience the entire time, the way it felt.
Mm-hmm. And I have nothing to complain about. I thought, in terms of who got in, I think Joe Lunardi nailed it and got everyone right. I think a lot of people also got everything right.
Yeah, they did.
I don't think there's one team that can complain about being left out. You know, the Auburn thing, Bruce Pearl, I don't think is allowed to comment because he's on the payroll. He shouldn't be allowed to comment on anything Auburn related. And he was trying to say SMU should be out. But, Auburn, with all those losses and 16 losses, is what did him in as well. And you can't put a team only one game over 500 in the tournament. I just was surprised Miami of Ohio was in the play-in to go undefeated in the regular season. Either you think they're good or you don't think they belong. Seemed like a compromise to me. And then I could not believe that VCU would have been out if they didn't win yesterday. They are 16-1 in their last 17 games. And as Dallin Cuff said numerous times, why did they get rid of that last 10 metric?
Mm.
How are you playing going into the tournament?
Yeah.
I think is a huge metric. And one thing that probably knocked NC State into the play-in too, because they limped to the finish line. But I thought that was astonishing what he said, that VCU needed to win that game yesterday.
That it feels like it's convenient for some teams, and then they just forget about it with others. Like Purdue, he said, Keith Gill, that they were the 11th team overall before they won the Big Ten championship, and they moved them up to like the 8 line or the 8 seed overall, and that would put them on the 2 line.
Yeah, does the conference tournament mean?
It mattered for them.
Right.
But I would also then come back and say, I know Arkansas was supposed to be on the 5. You also gave them the second or the most difficult bracket as the 4 seed. More on that coming up in a little bit. But because everybody panicked that Miami, Ohio was the last team in. He explained that they, in fact, were not. And he had reasoning behind that. And I will also go back to this. Last week on the show, prediction markets. Remember how it was explained where teams to qualify for the field of 64, Miami was a monster favorite to get in. If you took the no on that, that means that they had to actually make it. The no means that they did not make the field of 64, or they made the play-in game and they have to now win that game. So yesterday, before the brackets were revealed, Miami was +177. And if you took that number, they now have to win this game in order for you to lose that bet. I hope that's not too confusing, because the prediction markets have it field of 64, not field of 68. But also he said that SMU was the last team in and that injuries played a major reason why. Thank you for actually saying that.
Right. Yes. That their leading scorer, Edwards, he referenced. Yes, well done. Absolutely. And that's now Miami of Ohio got us up to as high as an 8.5-point dog. So that was a solid bet if you made that wager. I know Hoops Peterson loves Miami. It came down to 6.5, although they are the most bet team as of now in that game at BetMGM. So I'd be careful with that. How about St. John's? St. John's can't be a 5.
I would agree.
That's never happened before. You win the regular season and the conference tournament back-to-back years, and they're a 5. They were pointing to what happened in the non-conference. But, again, they're a hot team as well.
Well,
thumped UConn. They didn't give the benefit of the doubt to St. John's, I felt, and that was unfortunate, too. And Utah State, a 9 seed, they win the regular season and the conference tournament, they shouldn't be a 9. They should be better than that. Missouri was safely in. That was a surprise. Purdue a 10, and NC State in the play-in, while most people had them as a bye. So those were some surprises, I felt.
Okay. I would say that St. John's not being flipped with Kansas was kind of egregious, but in the end, does that really matter? That they're the 5 and Kansas is the 4? Maybe not. The winner, in theory, of that game, if they do meet, will get Duke down the road, and that should be a pretty decent game, I would think. Also, I would say that Michigan and Florida somehow got the easiest regions. Duke and Arizona. Duke's the number one overall seed in this entire bracket. I would say that either them or Arizona got the bracket of death, and that ties into Arkansas. When I saw Lenardi, he had Arkansas moved up to the 4 line yesterday, and he had him in Michigan's region, and he nailed like the other top 4 seeds. I have this future bet on Arkansas last weekend here from the blackjack tournament that pays a healthy amount of money. If Arkansas would be in Michigan's bracket and Alabama would be in Arizona's, I would double down, I'd triple down on Arkansas. I would absolutely have Arkansas beating Michigan to get to the Elite Eight. But now they have to go potentially through Wisconsin and then Arizona just to get there? Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
That is a buzzsaw.
Why? Why? I don't think you should be that concerned. You have a coach in Tommy Lloyd who until last year had never, every loss was against a worse seed.
Oh, no, but I mean, his best team, too. And the fact that Arkansas got Wisconsin potentially in the second round, come on. Nobody wanted to see that. At least I think I'm speaking for the entire audience here, right? Already in the second round to get those two teams, one of them is going to be bounced. Both those teams can do some serious damage. Mm. I would have separated those two.
Yeah. Well, the other thing, I am shocked at the point spreads.
Oh, boy. That's the biggest story of the whole thing.
It is. Number one, no bid thieves. There were 5 2 years ago. So that helped out all these teams on the bubble. And certainly, VCU had to have the game, too. So no Dayton as they got beat. No bid thieves. Astonishing. But the one thing right off the bat were how high these point spreads are. And is NIL going to hurt the first 4 days of the tournament? That remains to be seen. But we didn't have upsets last year. And if it's going to, this goes back to the mid 80s now, late 80s. If there's going to be an upset, it's going to be monumental when you look at this. For example, at Caesars, will a 4 team win a game? A game is 4-1. Every 12 seed is at least a 9-point dog. We've had 12 seeds favored numerous times, or at least pick them. We've had 13s against 4s that have been close. So this is staggering what these numbers are for these point spreads, and the fact that even Penn, the Ivy League has done well. They've won 6 times going back in the last 14 years, and they're usually a 12, 13, or 14 seed, even though I know Penn was an upset, but they're a 23-point underdog.
More than that, I grabbed 24.5 today.
Okay.
This show is brought to you by ProfitX, and right now King of March is giving you a shot at free trips worth up to $10,000 just for betting the tournament. Download the ProfitX app and use the code VSINMM. And to your point, and this goes back now several weeks, I told you that the first bet that I was going to look at was the sum of all seeds to make the Final Four. If it was a high enough number, my biggest bet, I was going to unload it like every app to go under. Yep. I also thought the number would be 9.5. Bam, that's where they put it, 9.5. Actually, DK has 8.5, and the over on that one is even money. But the sum of all seeds at most books, 9.5 under is -130. How is that going to play out then? I had all 4 number one seeds making the Final Four last year.
Mm-hmm.
Is that going to happen? Or did we see maybe a little bit of the luster get worn off of those top seeds over the weekend enough to maybe make you say, yeah, I'm not so sure I trust them anymore?
I don't think there was that incentive to win for some of them. Yeah. And, it was going to happen that they were going to play close games. You might be right, but they're highly power rated. I got creative. I took Gonzaga to come out of the West because I didn't want to be boring. But it's, you want to make the case again for the one seeds, I can't call you crazy or talk you off after what happened last year. You know, high, they're power rated. Well, more about the spreads. David Purdom had this. The average spread in the 4-13 game is 14.3, largest ever. The average spread in the 3-14 game is 19.5, largest ever. All 4-2 seeds are at least 20-point favorites.
That I can't remember happening.
First time since 1986.
Oh, that's why I can't remember it then.
There you go. And everyone, and this is, it's the first time that all 5 seeds are laying at least 9 points against the 12.
Yep. There was a year, I want to say around 18, 20 years ago, Calipari was at Memphis, and one of his teams, this is before Derrick Rose, they had the one seed. And I want to say that they were laying like 15 or 16 points against the 16 seed. That's the lowest I can ever remember.
Yeah.
So think about, and again, times change, obviously. That's now a long time ago. But now you have all these two seeds laying numbers that we haven't seen in 40 years, basically. And I have much more on this coming up in a little bit.
Yeah.
It's absolutely startling where some of these point spreads are. But also, and I'll say this, the market keeps driving them up for the most part.
Well, there's going to be a case to be made for a lot of these dogs, though. Because you're right, the point, not to win, but the point spreads are so high. It's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm shocked at what happened with how big these are. And, you know, we had that run where a 15 was winning almost every year. A 15 to win a game is 7-1. A 14 to win a game, 4-1. A 12 seed to win a game is plus money.
I'll give you another angle on this, Paulie.
Yeah, 13 is no minus 180. So I want to see that prop when they come out with, will a 16, 15, or 14 win a game?
Yeah, I'll expand on that because one of the most popular markets that bettors have looked at now for several years going is the team to have the most points in the first, you know, the first to 10, the first to 15.
That's great.
So, but because dogs come in so often, the numbers on those dogs came down over the years. They got to bump them back up because these point spreads are so big, and I don't know if books are going to do that. So more on what Paulie's talking about, these spreads looking higher than normal. First time in the tournament in 40 years, and Chris Felica with some great numbers we're going to share coming up next.
Hey, let me get your attention real quick, podcast listeners. It's March, which means the madness is officially upon us, and the folks at VSiN have gone crazy with this one. For $29.99, you get unlimited access to VSiN Pro through May 1st. I'm talking picks throughout the tournament, public betting data for every single game, sharp tools, projections, articles, and more. Just click the link in the description to get started. It's March, baby. Now back to the show.
This is Follow the Money on VSiN.
Much more now, the story again from a betting standpoint, how big some of these point spreads are in the opening round. We're going to have Chris Felica on the show tomorrow. If you go back to 1985, there have been 14 games involving a 3 seed versus a 14 where the spread was at least 16 points. All four are that big this year, including Illinois. Again, I got 24.5 this morning with Penn, which would mark the largest spread in a 3 versus 14 game.
Yeah. Well, you nailed it earlier. Not only are these huge, they're going up in most cases. It's crazy.
So
I can't believe it.
Forget about the one seeds for a second here.
It's almost like we're not even going to have an upset.
I know.
These are ridiculous point spreads.
So if you go the tier below the one seeds, if you go the 2, 3s and the 4s, are they like really that much better than teams on the same seed line from previous years? Or are the teams that they're playing on the 13, 14, 15 in that neighborhood, are they that much worse? It's got to be one or the other.
Number one, probably NIL. Number two,
for sure.
There were a ton of upsets in the conference tournaments. I think that has something to do with it.
No doubt it does.
Yes. The other one, there's a big gap between the one and the two seeds, but also your point from over the weekend, you could make the case that the fours and the fives are right there with the twos or the threes.
Oh, no doubt.
And there's no difference.
Yeah, no doubt.
I mean, you want to play St. John's right now? You want to play Arkansas right now? I mean, that goes back to how hot are you and what do you look like right now as opposed to the body of work.
I mean, if you watch that game for St. John's against UConn on Saturday, can you imagine what Patino's message was to that team after they scored 40 points in the loss to UConn and in the night before / morning of the UConn game this past weekend? That's why the guy is one of the best I've ever seen. The message must have been, boys, we're going to go out there, and once that ball is tipped off, we're going to turn this into a football game. You're men out there, and that's what I want to see. And I want you to go out there and beat the daylights out of them, and that's what they did, and they never backed down. Yeah. There was a stretch for maybe like 3 minutes where UConn hit him with a mini run, and you're like, okay, St. John's was the better team in that game for 95% of it.
Yep.
And that's how much of that is on Patino, pretty much the entire thing.
Yep, he's got the great pregame, halftime talks, adjustments, and scouting, and his assistants as well. Probably the greatest coach of all time with what he's done and accomplished. No matter where he goes, he'll win. And you saw it over the weekend on X that it was from a regular season game, that halftime tirade that he had, F-bombing everybody. It was great.
He'll
run through a wall for that guy.
Yeah, you will. So the possible matchup in the second round is St. John's, Kansas. That's going to be, if we get it, that's going to be Patino versus Self.
But he did do a bad job last year with that. You can't lose to Arkansas.
I know.
And Calipari. That was, and he threw the point guard under the bus.
He did.
By benching him. That's a game they should have won. But I think this team is better. That team last year had problems shooting.
I would agree.
I think with moving Darling in and Darling becoming the point guard now, and just look at the record and how dangerous they guard, they rebound, they're a tough out. I think this team's better than last year.
So if they get by, now this is going to be Sunday. Again, if we get St. John's, Kansas, that's in San Diego. So major travel there, obviously. But if the Johnnies win that game, and my guess is that's going to be a primetime game on Sunday night. I could be wrong. The time that he's going to have to prepare his team to see Duke then in the Sweet 16, that's not a quick one-day turnaround. Especially if Duke is compromised with the amount of bodies they can throw out there because of the injuries, it's going to be a spot where I think the Johnnies might be live. Mm-hmm. Follow us on Instagram, by the way, at VSIN Live. I'll expand on that in a second. Mitch Moss and Paulie Does Vegas. VSIN right now live on Instagram, sending out a lot of numbers. And looks great overall. These four seeds again. Bama Lane, that big of a number, 13.5 against Hofstra. Arkansas, 15.5 against Hawaii. Kansas Lane, a huge number against Cal Baptist. Four seeds are 11-0 straight up in the first round over the last, 12-0, I think that is meant to say.
Yeah, they mean to, yeah.
And 9-3 ATS. So they have crushed it. The seed number that I think is struggling here, even in recent years against the spread, has been the five. When they are favored by 6 points plus in the first round, those five seeds are 10-19-2 ATS since 2009, only 34.5%. And again, you have the Johnnies Lane, a big number against Northern Iowa. Texas Tech against Akron. You think Akron's live?
Yes, but I'm scared. They've never won a game in the tournament, 0-8. Last year, blown out. Year before that, blown out. I think they have a chance, though, and I think they can keep it close and competitive. Good team, 29 wins.
Look at the money on High Point.
Good
I think
team.
Wisconsin opened up 14.5 as a five seed and bet down to 9.5 in that territory. And here's another one, too. Vandy's potential second-round matchup would be the winner of Nebraska-Troy. Are we positive Nebraska beats Troy?
That's too many points.
Way too many.
Yep.
And then, but I don't know. Here's the deal. I don't know if Vandy gets by McNeese. McNeese is the best team in the country at creating turnovers. They're a really good basketball team overall.
Won a game last year.
Based on the overall number, I would really like Vandy against Nebraska if that's the game. Even, if it's Troy in the second round, I think Vandy to make the Sweet 16 is worth a bet. But McNeese does scare me a little bit.
Fair enough. Hofstra beat Pitt and Syracuse. And what do you do in Alabama now with the second leading scorer got caught with a pound of weed? I mean, he's got to be out, right?
I mean, it
still was uncertain when you read if he was still in jail. What happened today? So that could big problems for Alabama. And it's too bad he doesn't have enough help around him. But Daniels for Cal Baptist,
I know,
how good is this guy? 23 a game, and coming all the way back and hitting the three and Utah Valley blows that lead, but I watched both games that kid played. Player of the year in the WAC. That kid's awesome. And maybe he can throw a scare into somebody just because he's so damn good, and he could go off for 30.
Well, you brought up the Alabama situation now. That's part of the reason. It's actually not even that kid who was busted with all that much weed today, but Michigan's draw. To me, look, you always have those teams that you look at and you're like, God, these guys, they're just, if they could eliminate this part of their game or if they could knock this off. Alabama, to me, has the dumbest basketball IQ of any team I've watched this year. I think Michigan would blow them off the court if Alabama's even there. And I don't know if they will be or not. But I think that's a dream setup for Michigan to get Alabama. I think Alabama is just, they're unwatchable to me. And I know other people, I asked Chris Massaro about that. He said Cincinnati is the dumbest team that he's seen play all year long. And he's got some others in the tournament, but Bama is just infuriating when you take a peek at them on TV. So that's why I think Michigan, I was going to bet Michigan to make the Elite Eight, but that number is too high in my opinion. And I'll give you some more nuggets here from Calipari as well, or from Felica on Calipari. The last two times he has coached as a top four seed, both of those were losses. A three seed to Oakland a couple years ago, remember that game? And as the two seed with Kentucky against St. Peter's in 2022. And now they get Hawaii coming up this game.
The Oakland loss was unacceptable. You know, St. Pete's got hot and made the run of the Elite Eight, okay? But there was one guy for Oakland that would kill you, and that was Gaulke, and they wouldn't guard him.
Yep.
Everyone knew he was dynamite from three, and they left him wide open. 30 minutes.
They dared him.
They finally realized, we better guard this guy. By then, it was too late.
Yep. Virginia has not won a tournament game since winning the national title in 2019.
I'm surprised by that. Routed, too.
By 25 last year in the opening round.
Yeah, well, another one, and then losing as a big favorite in a couple other ones.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And Patino overall, round of 64 as a six seed or better, 18-1. The one loss in 2011 to 13 seed Morehead State.
That's incredible.
I know.
Come on. 18-1, round of 64, six seed or better? That's ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
That's Hall of Fame stuff right there.
Well, that's, I mean.
That's almost, that's hard to believe. That's great.
That's, when I saw them get the five seed, I'm like, that is feels a little bit off to me.
I really like Queens. I think there's going to be a letdown from Purdue, and they're still celebrating. I give them full marks for winning the Big Ten. They were great.
Mm-hmm.
They did an excellent job in the tournament. But Queens can score, and Queens beat two good teams to win the Atlantic Sun in Austin Peay and Central Arkansas. So they're fast. They're up-tempo. They shoot the three. They can score. I think that's too much for Purdue, and I think Queens can put a scare into them. Follow the Money brought to you by ProfitX. Forget the bracket. ProfitX taking March Madness to a whole new level with the King of March. 10 pregame spreads or totals across the 67 tournament games. Hit your volume goal, and you're entered to win a free trip of your choice. 1,000 in volume, you're in for the 5K trip. 10,000, you're in for the 10K trip. Flights, hotels, wherever you want to go, it's covered. Every additional 10 wins earns you another entry. Download ProfitX, create your account, and use promo code VSINMM, win10. Hit the volume, earn your shot only on ProfitX. Download it now, create your account, code VSINMM.
We're going to dive into numbers that we liked when they first popped on the screen yesterday. I'll give you another one. My initial reaction to Lehigh and Prairie View A&M, one of the 16-seed play-in games, is like, that's definitely Lehigh to me at 1.5. They ballooned up to, what, 3.5 now?
I felt the same way about Baltimore County. This is a league that's won. They won a game.
Yes, they
did.
This
league always does well, and it usually competitive, especially all those years with Vermont.
Yep.
I can't believe a 16 and playing. I can't believe they gave me a 16, bitch.
Yep. Up next, more numbers we like at first blush, and I'll give you a stat on Kansas and Bill Self when they're not a number one seed that'll knock your socks off coming up next.
This is Follow the Money on VSEN.
Good to have you on board here the Monday after Selection Sunday. We're live in Vegas, Circa Resort and Casino. Thanks for watching on YouTube TV, listening, Sirius XM Channel 158, the VSEN Watch app, and any of our affiliates across the country. Okay, again, how about this from Felica, the Bear, on the program tomorrow? Each of the past six times Kansas was not a number one seed, they failed to make it out of the first weekend, losing in the first round once and the second round five times. The last time Kansas reached the Sweet 16 when it wasn't a one seed was 2012.
That's nuts. That is crazy.
No
it's
kidding.
An indictment of Bill Self.
Yeah, it really is.
Oh, that's bad.
He's got to be loaded to the gills that's with bad. Talent. Otherwise, no good luck.
Yep, just like Rick Barnes. A five seed or worse 16 times, made the Sweet 16 once.
Oh.
12 times lost in the first round. Coaching. Huge.
Yeah.
That's terrible. Another indictment of Barnes. And all this, you know, the love about Patino, and rightfully so, but St. John's hasn't made the Sweet 16 since 1999. That's another one what they're up against. Everyone not only had him penciled in a deep run last year, couldn't even win two games. And he lost to his hated, bitter rival, Calipari. So they should make it. They're dangerous, but easier said than done, especially the issues that St. John's have had in the tournament.
St. John's qualifies as a team that I think is going to be very sexy. to go on a deep run. I'll raise my hand a little bit on that because I think if they get there and it's St. John's Duke, they can give them a game. Also, going back to Arkansas and Wisconsin possibly in the second round, I mean, those two teams, would maybe it's a good thing because you were going to hear nothing but Wisconsin's going to go on a deep run this year. They're my sleeper. Or this, now Arkansas is going to be way too popular. And since 2007, it was something to watch Florida, by the way, get buried over the weekend.
Newman's had a good tweet. What was Golden's problem after the Kentucky win? What's his deal?
He's cocky.
Well, yeah.
He made it a
point. We never trailed in the three games. I guess it was a nice win. We should have beat them by 20.
Yeah.
Who are you? The 95 Bulls? I mean,
well, since 07, only one defending national title winner has advanced past the Sweet 16. That's it. Since when UConn repeated as a national champs in 2024.
That's surprising.
That really is.
Yes. Like your level of concern with the two seats, as we've talked about for a couple months, the gap between the one and the twos, the last 28 tournaments, only three times all two seats made the Sweet 16. That also blew my mind. So there's some of them are vulnerable. Does someone go out early again?
Well, I'll give you a possible second-round matchup that we could have.
I wanted to pick UConn deep. I couldn't do it. You lose to Marquette, and you got buried by St. John's twice. Can't do it, even though Hurley is so good in the tournament.
You have him losing to the UCLA,
no.
UCF?
Okay,
no. Then you have him getting beat by Michigan State, I'm guessing?
I do have him beating Sparty. Just because...
That's a deep run, then.
I got Elite Eight, I know. I went chalky, but I'm the terms about, you know... I guess Elite Eight's a good run, but... Not beating Duke, though.
Let me ask you this.
But I was talking about, I should have been clear, Final Four or deeper for UConn. But I was concerned with what I watched in the Garden.
What does that possible second-round game look like with Danny Hurley and Mick Cronin coaching those two teams if we get UCLA and UConn?
For the officials.
I don't know if I can watch the game.
Yep.
But that's, I mean, a murderer's row here that UConn's going to have to go through in terms of... Cronin is a good coach. He just is insufferable, much like Hurley. But if they get by them and then possibly he's looking at Izzo and Michigan State, that's a Duke. I can't believe it. For the first time in the history of my life, I think I'm saying Duke got the hardest region here.
Mm-hmm.
So that is loaded with really good teams. I'll give you some other numbers here that popped right away. Again, I thought Troy, I got 13.5. I wanted 14.5, but that was gone too quickly. I couldn't get down on that here in town.
Beat San Diego State. They have a good team.
They do.
Yeah. Now, and I also felt that same way, though, even though I love Patino, that's a lot of points for Northern Iowa.
And I don't disagree.
A lot of people love to play against the team that wins their conference tournament. They usually have issues in that first round game, and Northern Iowa's going to put you in a meat grinder and chew clock, and what are they, 364 in tempo or something? It's crazy. So they're, 364 in pace. So that could be a low-scoring game, and the total's 131.
Here's the one thing I noticed with that the 4-13 matchups. So Nebraska gets Troy at KenPom. Troy is rated 143rd in the country. The other 13 seeds in order. Hofstra is 87th. That's a big leap from 143. Okay. Cal Baptist is number 106, and Hawaii is number 108.
That's a lot of points, too. Hawaii's good.
I think I'm going to have Hawaii in the old account.
Yeah, I can't explain what happened against Long Beach in the regular season, but they made up for it, and they were excellent in the Big West tournament. So that's the story of the first round. These are ridiculous points.
And I'll give you another observation with what the committee did with some of these matchups. On paper, like being at a sports book or at a sports bar when these games are going on, if the games on paper play out and they're close, look at these totals. The St. Louis, Georgia total is 170.5.
Good point.
The Miami SMU play-in game, 165.5. Same total as High Point, Wisconsin. Akron, Texas Tech is in the mid-150. Purdue, Queens is 164.5. South Florida and Louisville is in the mid-160s.
That's a very popular upset pick. Be careful. A lot of people, I love them. They've been great. Again, it's how you close. South Florida's been great. But everyone's picking them to win that game. Very popular.
Yeah, they are. Everybody is betting High Point against Wisconsin. And the other one is, I think you're on this, by the way, in the betting guide, which is a little bit later on today. I've seen no support for St. Louis.
Oh, total goal against. Have to be. They got to prove it to you. Yeah. They started 24-1. What happened? Not only losing games, but routed by Dayton. Lost at Rhode Island. blown out by George Mason, who lost in the first round of the A-10.
We had
bad form right now.
We had so many great finishes over the weekend. I think that one takes the cake. What happened at the end of St. Louis and Dayton on Saturday in that final 30 seconds? Here's a three to go ahead.
Yep.
Here's another three to go ahead. Oh, here's a tip-in basically at the buzzer. That was great. All right, let's take a bite out of the bracket, shall we? All right, so they won our final four picks and national title winner. Paulie, I went with Florida to win their region. The bottom is very good.
Mm-hmm.
They'll probably have to survive, if they get there, the Illinois-Houston winner, if chalk holds. That's a really good game in the Elite Eight. I also went with Arizona coming out of their region. This is his best team. It's a loaded bracket as well, but they're so good. They got dudes everywhere. I'm taking Iowa State over Michigan in their bracket. And then the one, this is probably my heart talking, also my wallet, because I have them to make the Final Four. I'm going St. John's. And in the title game, I have Arizona over Florida. But I will say that the one seeds overall, each of the last two national title games have featured 2-1 seeds. There has never been a stretch of three straight years where the national title game featured 2-1 seeds overall.
Good. Okay. I went with Florida also. I also reluctantly took Duke. Can't get there with UConn based on their performance in some of the big games. Also concerned about Michigan State. Love Patino and St. John's, but you got to make the Sweet 16 first.
Yeah, that's fair.
Michigan. I had to go with Michigan as well. Concerned about Iowa State. Well, it was a great game against Arizona. And then I got cute. I went with Gonzaga. I took Gonzaga to win the West because I'm not a Floyd fan. Lloyd fan. Because of what I said earlier, last year was the first time he lost to a better seed. You know, the Princeton game, the Clemson game, I just think so many times they've had the better team. And actually played well last year and gave Duke a scare. But it's too many bad losses for this guy in the tournament. And it's a big ask for me, even all the talent they have, to make the Final Four. So, Florida, Duke, Michigan, Gonzaga, and then Duke over Michigan in the final.
I think the conclusion here is that we're going to talk ourselves into betting the sum of all seeds to make the Final Four under 9.5. Even with the Johnnies getting in. Like, look, I think we're going to get at least 2-1 seeds in, maybe more. But if we get 2, that means that you're going to need like 2-4s to beat you on the under with that. Can you get a 3 and a 5?
Mm-hmm.
Look, I'm picking St. John's because, again, I'm sticking with that one because I have them to make the Final Four. So, I don't want to be all over the map here with these picks. But under 9.5, the more we talk about it, the more I'm going to have to make that bet. There's an angle where we get 3 gotcha. Number one seeds. Maybe that all of them make it again.
Absolutely. I know. It can't kill you for that anymore. It's changed. These teams are very, very good, just like last year. And maybe, you know, you're not even going to be a sweat because these point spreads are going to be huge as well with second and third round moving forward. Juice Reel links all your accounts, imports your bets, and gives you automatic tracking and analytics, and it's completely free in the app. Everyone's bet history is synced directly from the books. No faking stats, no lying about profits. You're as good as your record says you are. Juice Reel ranks every better. You can see exactly what the best bettors in the community have their money on, tail their picks, and join in on the profits. And if you're the sharp, you get paid when others follow your picks and win. Download Juice Reel today. It's free. R-E-E-L. Get it today. Juice Reel. Download it now.
Win Lose coming up next. Paulie's going to tell you about all the big numbers that came in for these teams to win their conference tournaments here on Follow the Money. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Some Lose Some is sponsored by the Sharp Plays.
Were you a winner last night?
Wow, winning.
Or was it a rough one?
Well, they can't all be winners, can they?
Loser! You're a loser!
Molly Howard recaps the night in sports betting in Win Some, Lose Some.
Good boy, Prairie View A&M, 40-1 to win the SWAC. That's your biggest ticket. Penn, 7-1, and they were 4-1 Sunday just to beat Yale. Catch a 9.5.
Another team, by the way. Doesn't matter what league you're from. how smart the kids are, the coaching staff, Ivy League. Yale up three, decides not to foul on a kid that had 40.
And he just hit a three the prior possession.
What are we doing here?
That was terrible. It was a perfect situation.
100%.
It was only like 2-3 seconds. So then it's going to be a half-court heave. It's terrible. I can't believe they did that. And that's how you got beat.
That's how you're not dancing.
I mean, anybody but that guy, too,
yeah.
Right? It's VCU plus 180 to win the A-10. Utah State plus 180 to win the Mountain West. They were fantastic. And how about that? The Mountain West only got one bid. Two from the A-10, three from the West Coast, three from the Big East. It was a wacky year.
Well, and by the way, so much for the Mountain West being up for grabs.
Yeah, that was a surprise. They were great, though. They found their A game, no doubt. And I also agree with Dutcher, the Aztec coach. That is the toughest turnaround in college basketball. That game tipped at 9:15.
Bingo.
He said they got to the hotel at 1 in the morning.
Sure.
They got a day game.
Yeah.
That's brutal. Arkansas, 12-1 to win the SEC. St. John's, plus 180 to win the Big East. You pointed out you loved that number. It was a bad number. You were right. Purdue, 8-1 to win the Big Ten. 2-1 to beat Michigan in the final. Friday, Ole Miss was 7-1 to beat Bama. And they almost beat Arkansas. What a run that was.
Yeah.
UCLA was plus 180. Hoops Peterson nailed St. John's. Seton Hall over, 131 up to 135 and a half. Sam Houston, Kennesaw State under, 164 down to 159. Cal Baptist, Utah Tech over, 138 and a half up to 144, 86-72. Prairie View A&M under, 146 down to 139. Blowout win, 74-55. Saturday night, the Kings were 7-1 on the money line. Yesterday, the Mavs were 8-1. And the Warriors almost beat the Knicks, who were also a big... I mean, you almost had three 14-point favorites in 2 days.
You know what's crazy about that? The Warriors were up by 20, or maybe even a little bit more than that yesterday in the second quarter against the Knicks. The Knicks still a small favorite.
Wow. They did sit everybody. I know. That's... Yeah. Yeah, there was another game I was looking at that, too. It was like a 14-point lead in the third quarter, and the team was still favored. Lakers in play, one of the best games I've seen in a long time. 14-1 in play. Denver up 6 late. They blow it. And Reeves with the putback sent it to overtime, and then Luka with the buzzer beater almost. Phenomenal game. Gordon also missed a key free throw. Friday, NBA favorites went 8-0 straight up as well. Premier League, Liverpool-Tottenham draw. 5-1. Subscribe, be part of the team, VSiN.com. Our radio and podcast friends, you always want to see these tweets and videos. At Paulie Does Vegas on Instagram, send them in, we'll put you on. This is fantastic. They know every Saturday what this means when they hear them coming down the street, three great dogs, knowing it's the ice cream truck, and everyone gets a treat. Look how excited they are. Tails wagging, here he comes, pulling up, the music playing. Coming out, they can't wait. Well-behaved, jumping up on the fence. Everyone gets a treat and everyone eats. Look at that. Comes right out. Hey, guys, how you doing? Everyone gets get some kisses, handshake, and a treat. They know their routine. That's excellent.
You think?
He's two blocks away. They're going crazy.
Oh, sure.
They know what that means.
And here he comes. He delivers the goods.
Yeah, good for him. Everyone, yeah. Snacks for everybody. You are asking during the break, and you're going to throw it out to the audience. How many times do you remember... Oh, no, this is no wrong one. I don't know what that is. I'll show that tomorrow. No, go number...
Oh, Bed Wars.
My fault,
okay.
Luke. Number 10. My fault. Bed Wars. I'll show Bed Wars tomorrow. My fault. You were asking how many actors, after winning an Oscar, go get fast food because it's such a late night. Michael B. Jordan, who was only 11% to win the Oscar for Best Actor in March, won last night. He went to In-N-Out afterwards. And there he is with the statue and the award hanging out. And he goes out and sits on the patio. Everyone's surrounded. I think Hilary Swank went to like a Denny's one time or something. But this is...
We got to research this because I know that somebody did this in recent years and we were blown away. It was Pacino or Harrison Ford, somebody after an award. It was a huge name, older actor, who also went to In-N-Out.
Oh, also In-N-Out?
I'm almost positive it was In-N-Out, yes. And we said on the air, that's how you celebrate an Oscars.
Okay.
Man of the people.
I forgot that. Yeah. There you go. Rolling in. Get the double-double.
You got two of them, by the way.
Animals. Did he?
Oh, yeah.
Animal style. Yep. Any surprises? I thought it was well done. Flew by, Mitch. 3.5 hours.
I didn't watch, so I have no idea. Did you take a little B. Jordan? to win best, because I took some sinners to win best cinematography just from what people were saying last night. That was almost 4-1 that got there.
Wow. It was that hush. That never also, happened before. It was a woman.
Yeah.
That's never happened.
Yeah. I also lost on sinners best picture and what was the other one? Oh, sinners to win the most Oscars I lost on.
Okay. Well, I remember we were talking about it when before you saw the movie, and it was still like $1.20 or something to win best picture, and that was one battle after another. That was, and that shot up to like $1,600, $1,800.
Sure.
And then came back down to like $4. Lose some. Missouri State, Louisiana Tech under 138.5 to 134. Bad beats. Liverpool allowed a goal in the 90th minute against Tottenham. Heartbreak Hotel for Utah Valley in the WAC final.
Boy.
Up 6 with 220. You lose it, and then you could have sent it to overtime, but you blow a wide open dunk. They imploded, and Daniels took over. I thought this was bad. Did you see the end of the Duke-Clemson game?
I did.
Clemson was catching 10.5 or 11. Duke shoot the ball?
There was no reason whatsoever.
Take the violation, there's only 5 seconds left. The kid shot a 3. Boozer with the putback to put it on 12. Can't believe they shot the ball.
That one stung.
And then, of course, Yale. I mean, that just, you got to foul. Luke? You got to foul.
Paul Giamatti.
Was it Paul Giamatti?
There you go. Yep.
Oh, good.
Thank you.
Oh, excellent. Founded in 2011, Sharp Plays just completed another dominant run, including a 2025 campaign that saw bankrolls double, 15 straight years of winning, documented records and logs posted at sharpplays.com. Separates the Sharp Plays from most of the betting industry with the full performance auditing. And when they move, the books take notice. Advanced AI tools, great sources, respected, watched, and feared. Start winning with them at sharpplays.com. The Mr. Poison tweets daily. He's hot. Fade or follow. Check out Mr. Poison's tweets and always give him a follow. Sharpplays.com.
Paulie, who's the best player in the country, in your opinion?
Probably DeBanta.
Yeah.
But it's a tough call. There's a lot of talented players.
I now have a snap call, by the way, between two guys. DeBanta might be the guy.
Yeah.
But for most of the season, obviously, it was Darren Peterson. I no longer feel that way. And I haven't felt that way for a while, but it was confirmed again over the weekend. And I'm talking about the NBA draft. It's a snap call that I'm taking Darius Acuff over Darren Peterson. And it comes down to whether or not I want to take DeBanta over Acuff as the first pick in the draft. That's how good I think the kid is. Also, I would say, and think about the guards John Calipari has had. I think Acuff is the best he's ever had, including Derrick Rose, John Wall, etc. He might be in the conversation for best player Calipari's ever had as well. Anthony Davis up there as well. He's got a ton of guys.
Come on now.
I have him. Always pay attention. You can get down at books or prediction markets. I have Acuff at 4. I tried to get in at 6-1 and it moved on me, but I have him 4-1 to go top 3. He's now below 2-1. I have him at -171 to go top 10. He's now -1600. And I got him to go first overall at 120, 150, and 250-1.
He was great.
I'm blown away how good the kid's game is.
Well, I think, and I know Jeff Goodman tweeted this out. He said everyone he talks to says Peterson won't go number one.
I think it's going to come once this tournament's over with, and then we'll get into NBA draft season. Now, there was talk, by the way, for a minute, I don't buy it, that DeBanta could go back to BYU. And if they wanted to cough up $10 million to keep him next year, maybe he would consider that. But I think that conversation will grow into it's down to DeBanta and Acuff before the draft.
Another thing they have to add on the markets now with the Oscars is, will there be a tie? People were stunned. Apparently that's happened 7 times now. But you had a tie.
So what, do both?
There's 2 winners.
Did they both come up on stage?
Yes.
Do they announce a tie then? And they
announce
both come
tie.
Up? Wow.
And a big gasp from the audience. Yes.
This is kind of like a draw in the UFC. You got to put up an 80-1.
Yeah, I know. We have a tie. And they come, yep. Yeah. That was, you got to put that up now too on the markets and also up on DraftKings and other stuff.
Okay.
I can't believe it's happened that many times.
Yeah. By the way, so there was a really quick event last night. I was watching World Baseball Classic.
Huh?
Okay. How about the way that CBS got to the brackets?
Unbelievable.
40 seconds.
In this day and age of
come on.
Crazy start
that
times,
that was awesome
right?
Yesterday.
You got the pregame and then you got a pomp and circumstance for another 10, 15 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
That was A+.
Yep.
They get right into it like that. And good for Seth Davis to put the ego aside and say, no one wants to hear from me. Let's just go right on with the brackets.
Oh, okay, yeah.
He does that every year, but I give him credit.
Up next, Fran Fraschilla on the program. Does he expect chalk again this year? If not, where are the upsets coming from? We'll ask him coming up on Follow the Money. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.